नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, Verse number 30. Prajaroyam mama britta brata Prajaroyam mama brata Tvam chame bhagini bhava Charam yubhavyam lokesmin Avyakta bhima sainikaha Prajaroyam mama brata Tvam chame bhagini bhava Charam yubhavyam lokesmin Avyakta bhima sainikaha Devotees. So repeat, Prajara, name Prajara, I am this, Mama, my, Brata, brother, Twam, you, Cha, also, Me, my. Bhagini, sister, Baba, become. Charami, I shall go about. Ubhavyam, by both of you. Loke, in the world. Asmin, this. Avyaktaha, without being manifest. Bhima, dangerous. Sainikaha, with soldiers. So translations. The king of the Yavanas continued, Here is my brother, Prajaura. I now accept you as my sister. I shall employ both of you, as well as my dangerous soldiers, to act imperceptibly within this world. Please repeat. The king of the Yavanas continued. Here is my brother, Rajaura. Sorry. I now accept you as my sister. I shall employ both of you, as well as my dangerous soldiers, to act imperceptibly within this world. So let's read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kalyakanya was sent by Narada Muni to Yavana Raja so that she might become his wife. But instead of accepting her as his wife, Yavana Raja accepted her as his sister. Those who do not follow the Vedic principles are unrestricted as far as sex life is concerned. Consequently, they sometimes do not hesitate to have sex with their sisters. In this age of Kali, there are many instances of such incest. Although Yavana Raj accepted the request of Narada Muni to show respect to him, he was nonetheless thinking of illicit sex. This was due to his being the king of the Yavanas and Milichas. The word Prajara is very significant, for it means the fever sent by Lord Vishnu. Thank you. Sorry, I'm adjusting the new eyes and the microphone distance. Thank you. Such a fever is always set at 107 degrees, the temperature at which a man dies. Thus the king of the Milichas and Yavanas requested the daughter of time, Kalyakanya, to become his sister. There was no need to ask her to become his wife, for the Yavanas and Milichas do not make distinction as far as sex life is concerned. Thus one may outwardly be a sister, mother, a daughter or daughter, and still have sex. Yavana Raj's brother was Prajaura, and Kalyakanya was invalidity herself. Sorry, invalidity itself. Combined and strengthened by the soldiers of Yavana Raj, namely non-hygienic conditions, illicit sex, and ultimately a high degree of temperature to bring on death, they would be able to smash the materialistic way of life. In this connection, it is significant that Narada was immune to the attack of Jara, or invalidity. And similarly, Jara, or the destructive force, cannot attack any follower of Narada Muni, or a pure Vaishnava. Thus, the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 4th canto, 27th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Attack by Chandavega to the seat of King Puranjana, the character of Kalyakanya. So, Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyana Jana Shavakaya Chakshura Miritanjena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Pancha Kaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So first, thank you very much for the opportunity of being here, sharing with you some humble realizations of a student of Bhakti Yoga. And this part is very interesting because here the materialistic way of life is being very specifically addressed. The verse is dealing with two specific names, the Yavanas and the Milichas. And Prabhupada brings a few definitions of those. Right. Basically, he says that these two groups of people are people who would not accept the Vedic authority. So they will be outside the Vedic authority. They will be outside the Vedic comprehension. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, in the Adikanda 139, it says, Bhagavata ye mane se yavana sama tara shastra che jame jame prabhu yaman. One who does not accept the Srimad Bhagavatam is no better than a yavana, and the Lord Yamaraj punishes him birth after birth. So the center here being brought is that the materialistic way of life is based on a certain concept. And the concept is my identity is connected to the enjoyment of this world. That is the basic materialistic conception. And the challenge for that concept is death. Because you have to let go. There's no way you can hold to your identity of the body, of everything which is connected to the body. Everything must go without a restriction. So here, the king of the Yavanas is taking the responsibility of smashing this materialistic way of life, because he's taking the responsibility of leading the jiva to this moment, which is the death of the material body. And he is getting assistance from Kalyakanya, which is invalidity itself. And his brother is a high fever, which brings in death. And the definition of the Yavana is the one who himself brings fear. So those entities are responsible for making the living entity understand that the materialistic way of life will not succeed. Everything which is connected to the body will have to end. And that's very painful. For example, for a father who at the age, or a mother at the age of marriage, has to give the daughters to another family, some pain is already experienced. You can already see that a person who is so dear in the family is leaving that nucleus, and that's painful. You also can see a businessman who has got very rich, and by some reason his business has failed. Letting go all that experience at the old age is very painful. Now, giving up the body, which is the most intimate connection of the jiva with this world, is very painful. And in that moment, these agents, they act. And by their action, the jiva is forced to understand that this system of life is not possible. But being covered by the modes of nature, the jiva continues to invest in the same ideas of trying to enjoy and control the material nature. Thus, the jiva is bound in the cycle of samsara. So here, these three agents, they're addressing that. And the jivas which stay in that side of comprehension, they end up as malicious and yavanas. Now, in the West, when Srila Prabhupada went, there were some very strong manifestations of this culture. You'd see the hippies, you'd see the anarchists in France stopping school, making many demonstrations against school in Sorbonne. You'd see so many demonstrations of this culture. After there was the punks, and the basic complaint is that the system is not good. We have to do our own system. And that is the essence of the militia culture. We follow no authority. We are our own authority. We are our own leader. And we are very attached to sex. So in a nutshell, this is what the militia culture boils to. The consequences are very drastic, as it can be seen, because sense enjoyment can only lead to impersonalism. Because if the goal of the mind is to enjoy, it means that you are the recipient of enjoyment. Therefore, you must be God. So for the karmis, the godness will manifest later, perhaps in the celestial planets. That's many religions address the heavens as this place, celestial place, where there is so much to enjoy. So for the karmis, the conception is, my godness will manifest later on in the celestial planets or in the superior earthly planets, someplace. For the jnanis, it's the perception that I will merge into this Brahma, which is God itself. Therefore, I am God, you're God, everyone is God. So the idea of sense gratification is that it will lead to impersonalism. And that's exactly what we see in any big city. Everybody has the experience. You don't know your neighbors. On the telephone, you talk to machines, to automatic recordings. On a line, you're just a number. As a client of an air company, you're just a case. And basically, that's what society boils to. These very impersonal dealings in life. Every trace of culture is being, let's say, merged into this one culture of hamburger, jeans, shopping centers, fast food, airports. I can do anything I want. This is my big goal of life. So in that way, the impersonal only leads to more sense gratification, which eventually will lead to the idea that this world is very problematic, relationships don't function, life is not worth, why am I doing, why am I working, why am I taking so much trouble for this? And then the jiva will take to, I don't want anything to do with this world. And the jiva will distance itself from the world. But after practicing for such a long time, the jiva will see that that nectar which the jiva is looking for, ananda, does not come. In Jiva Dharma, there's a beautiful story of a sannyasi called Sannyasi Thakur, which meets a Babaji, which is Premadas Paramahansa Babaji, and they have a discussion. So the sannyasi comes and pays obeisance to him, and the Babaji is in his deep meditation, chanting the holy name deeply. And he stops that meditation and sees this sannyasi in Dandavats for him. And he's surprised, and he's very shy with that situation. And he very humbly says, oh, someone has come to enlighten me. Please enlighten me. I'm in darkness. Please tell me what I should do. And the sannyasi says, no, no, no. I came here to get your blessings. Because I went through all the Vedas, I read all the Vedanta, I went to Varanasi, and now I became a Paramahansa. So the promise is that in this moment I'll get ananda. But I did not reach ananda. But on one day, I just saw this person, which I did not know who it was, very loudly chanting names of Gauranga. And my heart became filled with emotions, but I was shy to approach him. And because of my foolishness, I don't know where he is. And now I went to Vrindavan, I did not find him, and they told me this was happening in Navadvip. So I came running to Navadvip. And here you are, and I beg to you, please tell me, where can I find this Gauranga? Please instruct me. And the Babaji just replied, I am not qualified, I don't know anything. You instruct me. And like that, they spent a few days chanting the holy names. So, this is Srila Bhaktivinoda's point, that even if you know all the Vedas, if you become a Paramahansa, you will not reach the goal, you will not reach Ananda. So this is the meaning of this. So after a few days, Babaji Maharaj takes Sanyasi Thakur to see his Gurudev in Devapali, which should be Nishingapali. And being arriving there, his guru says, you found a very qualified teacher, now you please take all the instructions from him. And therefore the story continues. It's a very vivid explanation how bhakti is the ultimate goal. How bhakti, only bhakti, can give us that element of happiness and fully satisfaction with the jiva is looking for. But in the Malaycha culture, they're looking in the wrong place. They're looking in the forms of this material world. They're looking in the forms and thinking that the forms themselves carry the potency. They cannot see the substance within the forms. And this was the first answer of Babaji Maharaj to the sannyasi. The sannyasi asked, okay, so what's true dharma? There's so many religions. Can you tell me? And he starts explaining the meaning of vastu, which is existence, substance, and the components, which is the forms of this world. So the forms of this world attract the jivas. So the jivas think, if I have a car, if I have a position, if I have a family, then I'll be happy. But this jiva cannot see that behind the form is a substance. And the substance can only be touched if the substance allows you to touch. So the jiva, thinking that the forms are in itself everything, the goal of life, endeavor to acquire things. And that's what our West is about, acquiring things and experiences. And by not recognizing the substance, the supreme being behind the substance, they cannot have the substance. And they end up very sad. In Bangladesh, in the delta of the Ganges, there is a place where there is a forest. And this forest is preserved because there are many tigers. But there are many villagers go there because of the abundance of fish and honey. And many times they're eaten by the tigers in this village. That's shown in a video called Ganges by BBC. And I was thinking about that because they want to enjoy the fruits of the forest, but there are tigers which eat them up. Like that, the materialistic want to enjoy the material world, but there's a tiger with a lady riding on the tiger with a trident, which sometimes gives a lot of trouble for them. And here is a point where the Yavana Kalyakanya and his brother, the fever, comes to crush that mentality. This is one of the actions of Durga. She's piercing that mentality because they're looking in the wrong place. Now, even if the farmers and villagers knew the system to be there, how to protect themselves nicely, still they'll be in danger. So there's another example. Just like a father has a car, and the son takes the car without the permission of the father. Even if he drives very nicely, the father still will be upset. If he drives very badly, the father will even be more upset. So some are following the mode of goodness without the permission of the Father. And they have the element of driving nicely, but still they don't have the approval of the Father. And some are driving very badly. We could say this is in our Malaysia culture. And they have two problems. The problems of driving badly, they can crash the car many times, and they do. Families break, community breaks, nation breaks. And also they don't have the approval of the Father. But once you get the approval of the Father, then even if you drive badly, you are supported by your Father. He will take responsibility for you. So like that, once we accept the instruction of Krishna, even if you're not able to follow everything, he will take responsibilities because we've taken the process that he's suggesting. And now, what is the process the Lord is suggesting? In Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord is saying, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Halonascheva Gatiramita. There's no other way in this age as the chanting of the holy names. So if we want to take the instruction of the Father, it means he's saying there's no other way. In this age, this is the way. So this is the permission and the instruction of the Father. The jiva wants to drive the car. So the Father is saying, chant the holy names. If you have material desires, the Lord will guide you, so you lose them gradually. Or if you're already a pure realized soul, which can immediately just chant the holy names and join the Sankirtan movement, this is the best. That's his best instruction. That's the goal, actually. Because if we don't have a goal, the mind will never be peaceful. How will the mind be peaceful if we don't have a goal? Your mind will be wondering. If you don't know what you're going to do after class, your mind will be wondering, what will happen? What will I do? Where will I go? If you don't have a place to take your prasadam, your mind will be wondering. So the mind needs a goal. And the only possibility for the mind to be in peace if the mind understands that Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer. And therefore will be peaceful because we'll be addressing Krishna as our protector and our most dearest friend. And that will give us a goal to go to. Now the Father is addressing us saying that the process for this age is chanting the holy name. So that's what we should endeavor to do. Right? And in Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord is saying that the process for doing that, for driving carefully, is to chant with a great humility. Is to chant the holy names in a great state of humility. Because by that way, you have the etiquette and the culture to enter into the association of the eternal associates of the Lord. If the sannyasi was not trained in the etiquette, how would he have gotten the mercy of Babaji Maharaj in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's story in Javadharma? How will he relate? So the etiquette, this is part of this, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving, the system to address these great sages, starts with Trinadapi, Sanichana, Tarurapi, Amanina, Kirtanya, Sadahari. In that way you can always chant the holy names. Because otherwise you'll be distracted and you won't have the right way of approaching the persons who could give this prem. The people who are holding this prem, they have to be approached. At least that's the prayer I give to the Lord, that I'll have the right consciousness to approach all these people, and many of you I'm sure have already reached that through the holy name. We do follow two processes, Pancharatrika and the Bhagavata process. This is very important because the mind itself would be very connected to the modes and we would not have a clue how our mind is drifting us to different places. Right? For example, Ajamil, he is an example. Even if chanting the holy names without consciousness of what he's really doing, he was saved. Ajamil was trained as a Brahmin, he had a family, but he abandoned his family. And abandoning his family, he abandoned his family because he meditated on a prostitute enjoying with someone on a park. He meditated. So, if he had friends to tell him what was happening, because the contemplation is happening in his mind, it's not like immediate. Sometime there was a course of time passed. And in that time, if he had friends, if he had someone to guide him, he would have completely given up the idea. And there will be no Ajamil story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Ajamil means one story which happened once and will never happen again. But it shows one important element, which is the potency of the holy names. So Ajamil, had he friends to reveal his mind, he would have gone back to the path. And then he would corrected his behavior and he would continue without that. But then, not having that friend and getting involved with the modes, he not only went with the prostitute but had 10 sons with her. And his lifestyle was very similar of those of the militias and yavanas. He would do anything for his sense gratification. He would rob, he would steal, he would do anything to guarantee his sense gratification. And at the end, he had a son. So because of the remembrance of his early Brahman times, he named him Narayan. And his son is very small, very cute words. So he's always, oh, Narayan ate, Narayan walked, Narayan did this, Narayan did that. So he's addressing Narayan. So when he saw the Yamadutas approaching, out of fear, he called the person he loved the most, which was his baby son. And he was calling. And in that moment, he has the realization of Krishna. He understands what's happening. What is Krishna doing to him? Krishna is saving him from these terrible creatures and from the agency of Kalyakanya and all the associates. They're all there. And he's seeing all this. It's said that people have visions when they're passing away. And he's seeing all this, but at the same time he realized the benediction Narayana has given him just because he chanted offensively the name of Narayana. So in that moment, the Vishnudutas come and defeat the Yamadutas. And this is also a confirmation that the Lord will always protect those who take shelter on the holy names. So the holy names actually mean Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. They are the process, they are the knowledge, and they are the ultimate goal. Everything will end and start with the holy names. Because the holy names are actually Radha and Krishna together. And by putting Radha and Krishna together, we are serving the Lord as we should. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with the intent of understanding Srimati Radharani's mood, Srimati Radharani's deeper feelings. So our job is to assist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to enjoy this pastime. So by serving the Lord, we get to this pastime. And this is said by Prabhupada in many places. If we follow Guru and Shastra in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, perfection, which is full manifestation, will come to us. So in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our main goal is mercy and compassion. This is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this compassion is given when we take the Bhagavat Vidhi, the Bhagavat way, which is preaching. We share with others the realizations that we have acquired. And we run away from the tendencies which we acquire from impersonal dealings, impersonal life, impersonal community. Nobody is important. The only importance is my own realization. Nothing else is important. This is the contamination which comes from this very vast, massive attack of impersonalism from the militia culture in the West. So to counteract that, we must deliberately practice every day doses of compassion and appreciation. His Holiness Radhanath Swami says his personal exercise is to find 5 good qualities in some devotees every day. And by constantly practicing, he goes out from the idea of impersonalism. So I'd like to end with one verse, also from the Adilila Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says, Kali Kali Namarupe Krishna Avatar Namahoitehaya Sarvajagat Nistar. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. Srila Prabhupada says, so our humble request is that you please chant minimum 16 rounds of japa every day and follow the 4 regulative principles. So this sentence of Prabhupada showed the size of his compassion. Because what he's giving us is just, I want you to be happy. I want you to go back to Godhead. And by doing that, he's demonstrating the true mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why we've all come together under his shelter. We felt that love he had to give us. Two days ago, it was Gopi Parana Dhanush Prabhu's disappearance day. And something which called my attention was how all the devotees which somehow took shelter, guidance, instruction, studied under him, had a dear feeling, a very tender feeling for this great Vaishnava, that he was always caring and taking a deep, he was meditating deeply how to help devotees, how to acquire that love for God. And that's the element which brings people together. And that's what Prabhupada had so much, all the time. So we don't know Prabhupada as a great scholar or a great cook, even though he was a great cook. No, it's hard to find someone who could cook better than Srila Prabhupada. And he was a great musician. But Prabhupada is not known to be a musician or a cook or a scholar. We simply know him as our savior, our port, our destination, because he addressed the heart. He addressed what we need the most. He's that person who comes to say, you are important and I want you to be happy. Therefore, please go back to Godhead. Come with me back to Godhead. So that's his request for all of us. And how? Chanting the holy names together. So we could just chant once, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Well, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there's any comments or questions, if you want to rectify what I have just said, please feel free.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your wonderful class. And there is something that caught my attention. You mentioned that Ajamil means one, that it will never happen that again, that he attained, this mercy he attained is not going to happen again. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to make the question properly. Please, I ask for blessings. But what is the difference of a person that, without gratitude, thinks that, well, I chant Hare Krishna, I do whatever, and consciously or not consciously, generally at least myself, many things I am not conscious of it, and I'm thinking that I am a good person, and sometimes also in trying in our attempts to practice Krishna consciousness, sometimes there is something like this. No? Simply by being, I am convinced that Krishna is going to help me, but still there is so much to work within. No? And so how not to fall in that attitude?
Okay. So the basic difference would be that Ajamil, he left the father. And the other one is within the guidance of the father, but is experiencing some difficulty. So in that difficulty, you are addressing the Lord to your best capacity. And of course, association is the key of transformation. If you see a very enthusiastic devotee, immediately you pick up that mood. So, and the father, he can send you. And he does send. If we see, we usually say that we are tested again on the same thing. Oh my God, I'm being tested again on the same thing. Why am I being tested on the same thing? It's him sending help. It's just that we see as trouble, but it's help, so we can overcome. And then, so Krishna is taking such a fantastic care that even if we did something in a very distant life, even as an animal, and that creates a certain consciousness which manifests now, he addresses a situation which rectifies that consciousness of hundreds of lives back. So how Krishna is dealing with us, we have so many, when we eat, we are eating with what consciousness, of what being, of what life? I had so many different bodies, which body, which consciousness is in this moment dealing with the prasadam, the food? Is it a human fully life? Is it an animal life? How am I dealing with that? How am I dealing with many aspects of life? And Krishna is able to give an exact situation which will deal with that consciousness of hundreds of lives. So what care Krishna is taking with each one of us? Right? And even if you say, I don't care about Krishna, even though he doesn't leave your heart as Paramatma, he still stays there. Right? Even in the Malaysian culture, Krishna doesn't say, I will leave the heart of the Malaysians. I don't sit there. Because Krishna is interested in that transformation. Because his main interest is that loving relationship with us. But we get entangled and covered by the modes. And therefore, we think the modes themselves is what will give the experience, the happiness. If I have this, I'll be happy. But when you have it, I'm not so happy. I have it, and I don't. It's not that thing. Isn't it? Sometimes you desire something for such a long time, like, I'd like to have a house. You have the house, and you're in the house. Yeah, it's good, but... You see, so it's what happens in the situation. So Krishna's interested in the situation. Krishna's in the present. So what are we doing with His mercy now? Each test is a show of mercy. And the Lord is simply trying to interact with us in the best way. He's there. Just, isn't that two birds on a tree? He's just observing. He's there, ready, available. And if you want Him, He's there, fully available. If you want Him fully, Gauranga comes and dances on your heart. And there He is. And you go around chanting the holy name of the Lord. Isn't it? So, in whatever degree we desire, He's available. Because He's transcendental and immanent, therefore it's possible. He's in everything, so it's possible for Him. For Him, anything is quite possible. It's a question of how much we want. What do we want, exactly, in each situation? So if we are facing some difficulties, and it's a genuine difficulty and I can't overcome it, by praying and opening your eyes to what comes and getting guidance from the senior devotees, you're able to deal. And hopefully what happened to Ajamil will be free from that because you have friends to say, no, no, don't go that way, that's trouble, come this way. Right? So that's the importance of the instruction of Srila Rupa Goswami, giving presence, receiving presence. Why is that so important? It breaks the impersonal dealings of life. You have to go to the person. You have to open your heart. You have to cook. You can't just buy something very cheap and, oh, I bought it for you, take it. It doesn't create the feeling, right? So it must be something which is important. So it takes time, it takes attention, it takes your heart. So you do it and you give. So the person comes and gives, a relationship is formed. And from that, then you trust the person, you can reveal your mind. And then the person can reveal theirs. And it won't be on the boards on the next day. You know it will be secret. You can trust the person. Right? So, that's what Rupa Goswami is giving, very simple. The love relationships of the Vaishnavas. Yeah. Okay? Prabhuji has a question too.
I was just thinking as you were talking about how Krishna is watching and seeing what we're doing. I was thinking of good parents. You know, good parents, they make a big fuss if the child does something and gives them something. Like the child is drawing a picture or something. You know, it's just a little kid's picture. But the father or the mother will take that and put it in a prominent place on the refrigerator or in the office. Sometimes they put it in the office. I've seen one thing, a man had a bunch of pictures from his child on the office wall. So like this, making a big deal of what the child is doing, Krishna is also doing that for us. So whatever service we render, he's very much pleased. He's very much pleased with that reciprocation. So we tend to fall into the routine, you know, I have to do this, But actually, we should realize that Krishna is there watching, and he's very much impressed and very pleased. And if we have that realization, then we'll work very hard to perfect. One class was given recently about how the devotees don't want, nobody wants to take on great austerity and pralam, but because Prabhupada was encouraging us to do these things, and he was doing them, we had a lot of encouragement. We just had total encouragement, and so it became a wonderful thing. So this is the example. We have to have this example. So within our own lives, if we're a little dependent on just being by ourselves, whatever, we have to keep in mind that Krishna's there with us. He's there in the super soul, and he's marking everything we're doing, and it becomes very blissful. He becomes very happy if we try to make him happy. Thank you for a very nice class.
Thank you, Prabhu. It was a very lovely comment which brings the element of relationship, right? So for the Lord, the substance is the relationship. But we still see the forms as the most important thing. Right? So within the form, there's a substance. I go to Mangalarati. What is the substance within Mangalarati? It's to connect to the Lord, it's to be there, to contemplate on the verse, to see the mercy of Prabhupada coming, the shower, you know, extinguishing the fire of millions of desires, that hot fire inside is being extinguished by him. That's the meaning of Mangalarati. It's, I am there, at the modes of, the inferior modes of nature being broken, because by waking up early, goodness is establishing. And then you can see that happening, you can contemplate that, and finally contemplate that that's the time that the gopis and Krishna meet. Before they're there, they had a night out, and now they're waking up, and the gopis are serving them with sweets, waking them up. And then finally you come to the contemplation of the pastime. That's what's happening. The spiritual master is there assisting. So the vastu, the substance, will be the relationship. So relationship with Vaishnava is extremely important, because let's say someone talks very nicely about your mother, will you be upset? No, you'll be happy because it has a connection to you. So like that, if we are dealing very nicely with the devotees, Krishna will be very happy. Because there's a relationship with each one, as Prabhuji said very well. Krishna takes a lot of trouble and time just to watch us. What are you doing? And he values us very much. We may think he only values the great, enormous achievements. But for him, Hanuman is a good example of that. Ram was complaining to Hanuman because he was not paying a big attention to the service of the ants, which are taking little rocks, right? And he's thinking, I am the guy, I'm putting the blocks here, my service is the service. And Ram corrected him. Because for Krishna, the point is relationship. Not only, of course, in relationship, if you value, you will give quality, you give time, that's progressive. So, thank you so much for you for bearing me. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.